Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. Some show notes real quick. If you're looking for some wrestling today, KDW happening in Memphis, Indiana. You have NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, where you can find me later today. And AOW happening in Victorville, California, where you can find one of our guests today as we are celebrating the NWA today. So with us so far, one of the longest reigning NWA Continental Champions. He's been NWA Edge Champion multiple times. Bad Blood, welcome to the show.
Hey man, thanks for having me on.
And with us as well, former NWA World's Women's Champion, Casey Carlisle. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me back on.
Hey, what's up, Casey?
Hey, Bad Blood, how are you?
You know, another day, another dawn, 25.
Word.
Well, today, like I said, we're celebrating the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, which dates back to the 1940s when a group of promoters sat down in Iowa and formed an alliance among promotions to try to revitalize wrestling. They recognized one world's champion, which went from territory to territory. They did talent sharing. There were conventions that were held annually for new rules and regulations within the NWA. Now, to get a little bit of feel for our guest today, I'll start with you, Bad Blood, since you got more years in the business. First led you to being involved with the NWA, and how has it affected your career?
Wow, instead of bringing the hot chick on first, you bring on the old guy. That's real funny. I guess I started watching him, you know, back in the early 80s, and when I started training, I always wanted to be part of something that was, like, real. I didn't want to be a WWE guy because I didn't want to be a comic book character. I didn't want to be a superhero, or I didn't want to be on a cereal box or anything like that. I wanted to actually be a wrestler, somebody that can get in there and make it look as real as possible. I guess that's what made it for me.
Now, Casey, same question to you. What first got you involved with the NWA, and how did that sort of affect your career?
I got involved with them at first by being booked to work for them. it was something as simple as that. It was just one of those things, you know, that happened. I started working for a couple of the NWA promotions that were still hanging on from the previous ownership at that point in time, back in like 2011, 2012. So that was how I started working for them, was just simply the same way I work for anyone else. You know, I just was booked for their shows, started working for them. As far as what it's meant to my career, you know, I'm kind of like Bad Blood in the sense that, you know, when I was growing up, the NWA was, it was the NWA and it was WWF. And, you know, AWA was still in existence, but they were kind of starting to fade out a little. And NWA was really kind of looked at as, like, you know, the place where you go for kind of what Bad Blood was saying again, you know, kind of where you go if you're a wrestling fan. And this was back again in like the mid to late 80s, and so they were starting to kind of go through a transformation and kind of starting to become a little bit of a different, you know, organization with different competition and so forth. But, you know, I always, growing up, that was like NWA, that those are where awesome wrestlers are. It was always a big deal to me. So You know, once I became their world champion, the NWA is one of those things where everybody has an opinion, just like everything else. But for me personally, it really is a highlight, one of the huge highlights of my career. I've been asked that question so many times, and that answer will forever be on the list. Is that one of the major highlights of my career is holding that title and winning it and representing that company, because it means so much to me on a personal level because of how I felt about it growing up as a child and then what it still means to me today.
I can totally understand that, too.
A lot of fans may not realize that the NWA actually spanned a lot of different companies around the world. There were promotions in Japan, Puerto Rico, Canada, all across the United States that were NWA. It was more than just the Jim Crockett promotion of the late 80s. There was a lot going on, and the NWA World Champion would travel to all the territories. It was a very, very demanding position to be NWA World Champion, and a lot of great competitors held that title over the years. Bad Blood is someone that followed the NWA and has worked in it. Who would you say is the best NWA World Champion?
Oh, man. That right there is a toss-up, because you got guys like Ric Flair, you got Dusty Rhodes. You know, I'm not going to be those guys that say, that was the best world champion, or this was the best world champion. In my opinion, straight shoot, I'm going to say Adam Pearce. Because although Adam Pearce wasn't the guy that was on TV every week, and he wasn't the guy that was, you know, super famous with the fans, he was actually a legit good guy. He was a good worker, and he went everywhere, and he made sure that the boys in the back, both young and old, knew the history and tradition of this business.
As it should. We have been joined by our other guests we were expecting here today. I want to welcome Tracy Smothers onto the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
Well, Mr. Smothers, to catch up here, I asked Bad Blood and I asked Casey Carlisle this. I'll ask you as well. What led to you first getting involved in the National Wrestling Alliance, and what did that do to affect your career?
What was the question again?
How did you first get involved in the NWA, and how did it affect your career?
Well, back in the day, but most all the territories were affiliated with the NWA. Were NWA affiliate, you know, offices. Florida was, Continental, OCWF was, USWA, the AWA and NWA champions would come in and out of there. And, you know, about every place you went, you know, had something to do with them. They were it. You know, WWF was regional, you know, then, and so, you know. Yeah, in and out of there all, you know, through all the years I've been. Have I done a podcast with y'all before?
This is your first time with us, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know. I remember a 917 number. Okay. But, yeah, is this for NWA? Is this what didn't Billy Corgan or somebody buy it? Is that right?
Yes, just recently.
Yeah. Has he already started up running shows?
Tracy, know I that he has that blood, would you know?
I can answer that question for you. So here's the deal. Dave Lagana, who is the right hand man of Billy Corgan, has stated that they don't know what they're doing with the NWA as of now. They don't know if they're running shows, if they're keeping the affiliates. Like, they have no clue what they're doing. But, I mean, in my opinion, if I spent $500,000 on a product, I would know what I'm going to do with it before I bought it.
Oh, my God. Is that what he spent for it?
It was a lot of fucking money, man.
Yeah. He bought it from Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce sold it right from under the affiliate. No one knew what was going on.
$500,000?
Yeah.
Wow. What did he buy?
Casey, you're the one person here that held a world championship with the NWA being world women's champion. I know the NWA, when you held that title, was a completely different animal from what it was.
Did you just say I held the women's world championship?
Yes.
Casey Carlisle did.
Oh, all right. Is she on the line here?
Yep,
yeah,
Casey is on as well.
Casey? Are you there, Casey?
Yeah, what's up? I'm here, Casey.
Hey, okay, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Oh, okay. I was in Nashville the last two nights, and just got in here. Other side of Louisville here, Jeffersonville, a little show here. And I'm going to go home. I'm about 100 miles from home, so I'm ready to go home.
Nice.
2 days on the
nice.
Road anymore. I'm hung out to dry.
It's tiring as hell, man. I hear you.
Yeah, it does. It's
been
more,
a solid
so much
few
traffic
years
out
or so since I've seen you.
Yeah.
A
little more.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah.
There's so much traffic out anymore. It's just crazy traveling, man. You got to watch it.
Yeah, it's between the traffic and the idiots that cause the traffic, like the one in front of me right now who's trying to get rear-ended.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt.
What were you asking me,
so,
fun guy?
Well, I'm asking that since you're the only one here that held the world title for the NWA, even though it was a different animal from what it had been in the 60s and 70s, what was it like holding that title where you're the forefront of the women's division for the entire NWA?
You know, it was an honor for me because it was the NWA. And, you know, I was the girl who, since I was 8 years old, told everyone I was going to be a wrestler, and I knew damn well I would be. And, you know, I grew up on it, and that was my love. It's been my longest and first love of my life is pro wrestling. So to hold the title was and is still a huge honor, and it was a huge highlight of my career. You know, as far as that point in time, the NWA had just gone through another change in ownership, and it was a very tumultuous time. And I can't honestly say, you know, I think there was a lot of potential that was left on the table. I think that every title belt that was held at that point in time was hurt by the political crap happening behind the curtain in some ways. But that doesn't, in my heart, in my mind, you know, it didn't take away from my my pride and my, you know, the sense of responsibility I felt being the champion and, you know, trying to keep that old school tradition, you know, in people's heads and alive.
Thank you.
Bad Blood, you were most recently NWA Continental Champion, and you held that title longer than practically everybody. You had to travel all over the country with it to defend it. What was it like holding a title that was recognized by the entire NWA that put that much pressure on you to go to all of the companies to defend?
Quite honestly, man, it was a tremendous it was a tremendous like honor to hold it and to be able to go and travel around the country and do this like as a job. To actually go places I never would have gone before was awesome, you know. I've met a whole bunch of great guys. I've been to a lot of promotions that were amazing. I've been to some that weren't so amazing. But at the end of the day, it was it was an honor and a privilege to be part of it. And, you know, the history behind NWA and that title that I held was, you know, it's phenomenal. Guys like Tommy Rich, guys like Buff Bagwell, guys like Rick Rude, guys like Kurt Hennig, guys like that held that title. So it really made a difference to me to be the guy to hold it longer than any of those guys. So to put that kind of weight on my shoulders was both tremendous and scary all at the same time.
Mr. Smothers, you were in the NWA when it was still resembling what a lot of people think of when they think of the NWA, where there were full-time territories where you could work every day of the week and a lot of the territories were still alive when you were getting started. Do you think that the NWA was helping a lot of people's career when you broke in, or was it something that wasn't as relative to a young wrestler starting out when you did?
Oh, it was Bill Watts, Mid-South. They were NWA. Bob Geigel, Harley Race had Kansas City, was NWA. Bob Armstrong, Ron Fuller had Continental, was NWA. Florida, the Grahams, Mike Graham, Eddie Graham, was NWA. I'm trying to think there's more. Of course, they're all done now. Of course, Vern Gagne was AWA. And, sometimes they'd have NWA champ work the AWA champ, stuff like that. You know, and even like Bob Backlund, I think, worked with Flair once or twice or something. I don't know. You know, things like that, WWF or whatever it was called, but it was relevant everywhere. Yeah, it was. They used to have the meetings and all that, the promoters would get together that were NWA affiliated, it was a big deal.
When you were getting started and you were working for NWA companies, as someone like yourself that was wrestling for the affiliates there of a lot of the NWA offices, or was that something that was just between promoters of the NWA?
What was the question? Somebody was hitting the ropes. I couldn't hear you. Somebody was messing around.
But when you were wrestling for the NWA territories, was someone like yourself that was a wrestler getting their start aware of a lot of the behind-the-scenes NWA news, things that were happening at the convention, or was that strictly between the promoters of the NWA?
Well, you'd hear rumors. You didn't have all social media and, all that you have now, cell phones even. Computers, period. But you'd hear stuff, rumors, They'd keep it pretty tight lip, everything they were doing. And like a committee, I guess, And when they dropped it to Tommy, he was the youngest guy. They wanted a change, and then they dropped it back to Harley a few days later, just to shake it up a little bit, But, they pretty much, you knew when you saw it happen. I guess, say, they kayfabe. Anybody know what that means anymore?
You are speaking to my heart.
it was the way there. We didn't leave the dressing room, and Casey and I wouldn't be talking like we all would, like we're talking right now.
It wouldn't
in,
be happening.
In that era.
The whole conversation No way.
No way.
The fans wouldn't be online on their message boards and on Facebook talking about who should have the pilot line.
Right.
I blame the young guys that just broke into the business for that because, the guys who broke in over the last 10, 15 years, they're all about Facebook and MySpace and Instagram. And
I don't blame the young guys
and,
for it. I blame the guys that came before them for that, who were disgruntled and let those young guys in because they were trying to prove something.
Yeah, that's true too.
I think everything has played a hand in it.
And Casey, we've had this conversation before, so
it's not the same business that it once was.
No. Used to in the Northeast, it was that circle of the smart marks, and now it's everywhere.
Now it's everywhere. It used to be confined in that one geographical area.
Yeah, they really did. They get the kayfabe sheet, Dave Meltzer's sheet, and that was like, I remember the first time I read it. I remember 1988, nearly 30, I remember this. Steve and I, we were in Continental Armstrong doing the Southern Boys thing, and we got a tour to Japan. Well, for New Japan, that's the first time I ever went to Japan. and you would give your notice in 2 weeks, and you do business, whatever need to be done. You know, put the guys over you're working with on the way out. They hurt you, whatever it is to do to come back, but you always want to leave on business terms, and you give a proper notice, you know. And then you didn't burn a bridge, and you could always come back, and, you know, and this, this, other. Well, we didn't say anything, and the guy running, Jack Curtis, was kind of running things in. He'd not been in there long, and it's the first time I ever heard the Cape Babe sheet, you know, the dirt sheets and any of that. And he asked us, he says, hey, he says, y'all going to be leaving pretty soon? He goes, what do you mean? He put a hand, like, you know, going over. He goes, heard y'all going over the pond. We just looked at him like, no, no. He goes, well, it says right here you are. And he showed us the Cape Babe sheet, which had our starting date. And when it ended, it was a month tour and everything, and who all was on the tour and the whole deal. Looked like that. He said, what? And it was a month out, you know. I said, we were just like, well, we were going to tell y'all in 2 weeks. And that dude, he wasn't mad at us or nothing. He goes, I know. He said, but, you know, this is, he goes, this is the day and age we're in right now. He said, I had to read it somewhere else. You know, and Eddie Gilbert was booking it then. You know what I mean? You know, I remember that.
Yeah,
sure did. So
like the early version of the internet before the internet. It was the prelude.
As
far as that kind of stuff goes.
He made a fortune off us, Casey. He made a fortune.
I know.
Who's the other guy on the phone that's talking? He's a wrestler. Who is it?
Bad Blood from Portland, Oregon.
How you doing? Okay. All right.
Sorry, guys. I had you on mute for a second. I'm driving, so nice to meet you, Tracy.
What was your name? I'm sorry.
My name is Bad Blood.
Okay. All right. I was hearing you talking earlier. I didn't know. Yeah. Bad Blood.
And we have one more caller from us. We have a promoter for NWA Texoma. Robert, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Since you're the promoter here among us, tell us a little bit about what led to you getting into the NWA as an affiliate member.
Well, I got in about 10 years ago. I actually bought into the business and always wanted to be part of the brand and hooked up with the old regime with Marquez and Botrovich and all them. And then had a big fallout with an associate with the NWA. And then when Chris Marcello bought it, I joined back with him. And me and Bruce didn't see eye to eye, so had to go.
Now, when you join the NWA as a promoter, especially the point where you did, was there a set criteria for what the NWA expected out of you as far as how to run shows, how to manage things online, so forth and so on?
Not necessarily. We all had contracts and everything, but we all had to pretty much do, you know, pretty much what they said, but we all ran our own shows the way we wanted to. And, you know, I'm an old school guy, you know, I grew up watching, you know, Bill Watts and Fritz and Leroy McGurk and all them and everything. And, you know, if you keep with the old style wrestling, you'll go farther than anything else.
You see, you, of course, went to a lot of different affiliates as the NWA World Women's Champion. You got to see a wide variety of the players and promotions there. Do you notice a set way that, as the NWA Women's Champion, the promotion was expected to behave and how to run their shows, or is it something that was wildly different from affiliate to affiliate?
No, you know, I mean, I was never in a position where I was booked on a show that was run unprofessionally or run in a bad manner or run poorly or anything like that. Everybody that I worked for when I was the champion was very professional. They seemed to want to produce the best quality show, you know, that they could, and they seemed to book the show correctly, book it well, and so forth. You know, I can't say with all honesty that was necessarily due to the fact that they were NWA. I think that I was lucky in the fact that I was just working with professionals, period, you know, because there's such a lack of uniformity in the business when it comes to what people do or should do or don't do. I think I just lucked out, and I was booked with people who, you know, took the business seriously and took their job as promoter or booker seriously and didn't make a joke out of it and didn't, you know, act like a fool with it. So I didn't have any bad experiences at all. You know, there was a slight bad experience that I had during my championship reign, but in the big picture, that was also part of, you know, that was also part of the politics game in wrestling, and that just happens and is part of being in the business. So I can't chalk it up to NWA, you know, anything like that.
Well, Mr. Smothers, you work for promoters both in the original version of the NWA through the 90s, and I'm sure some of them still today. What's been the biggest changes that you've noticed as far as the structure of the way promoters run their shows as an NWA affiliate?
Well, Jim Crockett, I mean, was, you know, the main, you know, where Flair worked out of. And he'd come and work with the regional territories, main guy, champion, you know, whatever it was, you know, Southern champ, whatever. And, you know, that was pretty, they were the lead dog, Crockett Promotions. I worked a few times for them with Steve and I did. And we were supposed to went in there in 87, but didn't know if we could go. Shakeups going on and stuff. But, you know, it was always there, and it was regional offices that you got a booking sheet, and you got a check, you got a W-2, you know, from, and we're now independents, and they're all separate and whatever, you know, but they would work together and swap talent and all those territories that were affiliated with that, and it was very, very business and very hush-hush, and, you know, you could get a notice, you get your notice, and you'd be like, oh God, you know, you'd be able to work out, doing push-ups, everything going, oh, you hope you, and guys would come up and hear about it, and, you know, and that, and you go, and they, you know, try to help you to, you know, calling actually on a home phone, and sending, you know, I remember, yeah, Betamax, VCRs, and
yes,
tapes and stuff like that, and wow, you'd send out to other territories, and you know, in a resume, a written resume, and that, and if they knew, you know, you'd push for you and get put in a good word for you, and but you make it, you know, your notice, and then you know, they come up to you at the end of the night or a few days later and say, hey, got you booked out such and such, wherever, you know, Florida or Continental or wherever, and these guys are coming in to take your spot. You're going there to take theirs, and it was kind of like that. And usually like 12 to 16 guys in the dressing room, where now it's about 100. You know, and you didn't have a job. That was your job. You know, for whatever office you were, and kind of all disbanded when Vince went nationwide. You know, when Hulk got hot, you know, with everything after the movie, and then he did that in the garden with Sheik, and then they started running everybody's area and hiring guys out of all the top guys out of all the territories. And that's kind of when it all, you know, went down as far as the NWA. But Jim Crockett and him competed against him for a long time till what, late 80s there, I guess. But it was always real business. I mean, you took in a room and you kind of knew, and you kind of see them writing on the wall when your run was up. You could be there anyway 6 months, a year. Some guys stay longer, some left. And they'd swap out talent. Or you're hoping you would, guys would ask you, hey, anybody called you yet? This is Southern. Like, no, you know, and that. And then maybe somebody come up to you and go, hey, that's somebody wants to talk to you on the home phone at the building or something. And you know what I mean? You know, because there was no cell. And I remember talking to Matt Suda and Kevin Sullivan somewhere at a show I was at National Guard Armory, and said you had a phone call. And they, Pat Tanaka helped, and Luke Bushwhacker Luke helped me get in. And, you know, there, you know, I just told him on the phone, and he gave me a starting date, and, you know, things like that. But it was, you did, you got a check, you got a booking sheet. You know, there was no outlaw independence because it was the regional territories and they didn't go out of their area. They would work together somewhat, you know. They didn't necessarily get along, but they work together for the good of business. Now everybody cuts everybody's throat and everybody runs at the same time and calls the, you know, health department on them, the fire department, everybody else they can do. Won't push their own job, but they'll work 24/7 to kill anything else. So, you know, that's kind of how it is.
Bad blood up here in our neck of the woods, up here in the Pacific Northwest. The NWA blue collar motto is old school, new class. You've tried to kind of emulate the NWA promotion that Don Owens had to a certain degree.
Continue on US 101 North.
Portland area is not something a lot of fans think of when they think of NWA if they are from a different area. But looking at the history.
Can I cut you off a minute? Don Owens, you want to hear this? Casey, you want to hear this? Story of Don Owens. I talked to him 1986. I was working for Bill Watts. And Ken Mantell was coming in from the Dallas Von Erichs territory to book. Terry Taylor was booking before that. And I kind of saw his, you know, hand writing on the wall. I was opening match. I was there about a year. And I can remember I talked to Don Owens on the phone. Brett Sawyer, Buzz Sawyer's brother, hooked me up talking to him, and I'd sent my picture, sent my resume, and I can remember that voice of his. He goes, well, he goes, you know, he goes, Brett says you're a good kid and a hard worker, and you said you look the part and all and work out and everything, good baby face and a young baby face, and would love to have you and love to push you. He said, well, we got some guys here, we need to move, but man, he said, you know, there's two or three of them's wives were pregnant and stuff like that, and one of them, you know, a couple of them lost their job or something. He actually cared about me, and I couldn't believe it. I just said, I understand. He goes, I'd like to do it, but I just can't do that to nobody, and so right now we don't have a spot. And I don't think I've ever heard a promoter say that.
I don't think I have to say, Tracy.
And then I talked to Bob Geigel and Bob Brown, Bulldog Bob Brown. They kind of, Harley, those three guys ran the old Kansas City. And Bob Brown said, well, he goes, Brett says you're good, good. He goes, not saying you're going to make a lot of money here. You can sell your pictures and this other dude, and he said, and the rats put the boys up. That's what he told me. I remember that. I said, okay. And he says, he goes, I'll talk to Harley Monday, and Harley Race. And, well, I get to a show Monday. Was hoping to hear from Harley or hear from them, you know, on my remember when voicemail answer machines were out, right? I was hoping I'd have a call when I got home. Well, I didn't get a call. Next day, we worked somewhere, I think it was Lafayette. I'll never forget this. And the word in the dressing room was Harley Race had left the NWA and went work for Vince. You know what I mean? And he couldn't believe it, man. He's just like, no way, you know.
He was
the NWA, him and Flair, you know, and Harley before Flair. And, that was like a shock. You're just like, wow, you know, because they took a lot of guys already. Harley was, you know.
Who could have known at that time it was a sign of things to come?
Yeah, well, Harley, they ran his town. They ran Kansas City, and Harley went to the building with a gun. I remember that. I don't know if there's a TV taping or a house show or what, but all I know is Harley went there with a gun, you know, and he went in the building. Harley could get away with anything in Kansas, in Missouri, you know. He still can, I'm sure, you know. But yeah, I remember those things. Anyway, go ahead with your story.
Love
I'm sorry.
Well, Bad Blood, do you try to emulate the Don Owens era version of the NWA, or are you looking at the NWA as something that is affiliated with the current crop of what you're trying to do, and it's not so much an emulation as just an extension of the name.
Well, I will tell you this, man. Straight shoot, between us on the phone here. There is no way any promotion can emulate the old school of the NWA. Like Tracy was saying, back then you ran your territory. If someone came to your territory, I mean, hey, that was blatant disrespect. Here, you know, now you got guys running two blocks down from the company, you know, trying to put you out of business. You know, it's a business. Don't get me wrong. This is all about money. You put asses in seats, you make money, your boys get paid. That's the way the business has always been, as long as I've been in 25 plus years. But at the end of the day, it was also built on respect. So in that respect, you cannot emulate something from the 80s and the 90s this decade because the respect isn't there. So with blue collar wrestling, we want to do an old school type of feel. We had that loyalty and that respect for other promotions, but a new class of athletes, a new class of talent, because let's just call it what it is. You're not going to have a guy that's not a Harley Race. You're not going to have a guy, you're not going to have another second coming of Ric Flair, a second coming of Dusty Rhodes, any of that stuff, because those guys are legends, and they're legends for a reason. You know, so we have a bunch of young guys, and we have a bunch of veterans that show up, they show out, they go home, they work their hardest, they get asses in the seat. But, you know, when it comes to trying to emulate what Don Owens did, what Sandy Barr did, that stuff isn't there anymore. I mean, I'm lucky I have Kevin Sullivan, who is a mentor to me and talks to me weekly and helps me guide these young guys the way it should be. I mean, Casey can tell you, I'm on point when it comes to running the show when I'm there. And that's because I've had guys mentor me the way it should have been. And I'm pretty sure Casey's had mentors. Tracy, I know you've had mentors. I mean, hell, sign guy, you've got a mentor, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. QT, I have a few questions for the panel.
Yes, I do. Yes. And I'll start it out with Mr. Smothers. First of all, good morning, Mr. Smothers. Good afternoon.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Mr. Smothers, the NWA's presence in Japan was established in 1953 when Japanese wrestler promoter Rikido-san founded the Japan Pro Wrestling Alliance, quickly became the main promotion in Japan. In 1972, the JPWA top draws were Giant Baba and Antonio Inoki.
Yeah.
Formed their own promotions, All Japan Pro Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling, respectively. Now, in Canada, a key member of the NWA, until it was being absorbed into the WWF, was New Hearts Stampede Wrestling in Calgary, and another Canadian territory encompassing the Maritime Provinces of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island was known as the Eastern Sports Association, and it operated in the summer months. My question is, what happened to a Stephen Hawking time machine? Which promotion would you rather work for? Would it been the New Hearts Stampede Wrestling in Calgary? Or would it be Japan Pro Wrestling Alliance? Or maybe
would it be
the Eastern Sports Association?
My first time going was 88. It was New Japan, All Japan, and a couple of shoot groups. Some more got going, Wings and FMW and Tenru, whatever Tenru's was called. I can't remember what it's called. I haven't been over in 2008. I don't have no idea what's going on. I see New Japan doing a lot, you know. I guess NOAH works together with the Global Force or Impact or whatever they call it. But Inoki, I worked with Inoki. I worked with Baba too. but they were two powerful guys. Inoki was an actor for a while, or he was married to an actor or something like that. And he was in Parliament or something. I can't remember, you know. But he was like a god over there. So was Baba. Baba played baseball for the Tokyo Giants, first baseman or something.
Oh, he did?
But a lot of, A lot of the wrestlers that back then were legitimate athletes come out of other sports over there, you know, sumo guys, martial arts guys, soccer players even, baseball players, you know, different stuff. Different stuff. But one, Hiro Hase was, he was in Olympics, you know, wrestling, you know, I mean, Masa Saito was too, he got like a silver medal. You guys ever heard of him? Masa Saito?
No,
used to. Never heard of him? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Wow.
So Mr.
Who he is?
Who's that?
Giant model was.
He was with Ken Patera when Ken Patera, something going through the drive-through and messed up his order, and he threw like a concrete block through there or something, and Saito didn't have nothing to do with it. And I think the dog tried to jump Saito, he headbutted the dog, they maced him, he didn't sell that. You don't know who he is, really?
Wow.
Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm driving, and this right here just totally just threw me for a loop. Who doesn't know who Saito is?
Masa Saito. It don't matter. You know, look him up. You need to look him up.
Man, you better Google that shit.
Anyway, he was something else. He was, when he was a young boy working in Florida, he didn't really speak good English. They had Atori, he's still referee over there for New Japan. And that, a karate guy was showing up at the matches. And this was NWA and the Florida office. And always in Florida, there was a lot of shooters, a lot of badasses worked there. I guess the guy kept coming and he kept talking trash and all this, that, and new. And I believe Eddie Graham told him, says, well, if you can whip that Jap in the ring up there, says, you got a job. You know, he said, I can book you. That happened to be Saito, who just got a silver medalist in the Olympics. And he also was judo and wrestling. So the guy hit the ring on Saito, and Saito about killed him. It was like late 70s, early 80s, something like that. Oh, yeah, he about killed him. Wow, killed the guy. Hell yeah! If a guy hits a ring, you know, you beat his ass, and you didn't. If you got beat up in a bar fight, or you know, anything out on the street, or of course at a show, you were done. You were finished.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules Hernandez and Dr. Death Steve Williams whooped the whole bar. Bouncers jumped on it, beat them up, and some of their friends tried them, and they were just beat the hell out of about 40, 50 people. The ones that, whoever take a shot at them. And the whole reason they did is because they didn't want to get beat because Bill Watts would fire them. They about killed everybody in the bar getting out of there. Now they're playing video games and on their phones and everything else.
Yeah,
and
you know,
in a quarter mile, different deal. Hey guys, I'm at a show, and they're letting the people in and stuff like that. I'm up there at the merch table. It's okay if I let y'all go. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Same with us.
All right. Hey, enjoy it. All right, be good. Bad blood.
Casey,
take care.
Hey,
sign guy. Hey, this same sign guy got hurt that time. Casey, I was on the show you up for Jerry. People was involved in the show or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that. You all right?
Yep, same one.
I made it to
the
show
a few years ago.
Had a near-death experience.
Okay. Hey, y'all have a good one, okay? Thanks for having me.
Take care, Tracy.
Okay. All right. Too. Bye.
Yes. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, Casey, in Mexico, the primary NWA member was Empresa Mexicana de la Lucha Libre, now called CMLL.
Mm-hmm.
Founded in 1933, it precedes the creation of the NWA. EMLL joined with the NWA later on, but broke away from the group in 1980. Despite not being a member of the NWA since 1980, CMLL still recognizes three titles with NWA lineage. The NWA Light Heavyweight Championship, the NWA World Middleweight Championship, and the NWA World Welterweight Championship, which are all unsanctioned and only defended at CMLL events. Which one of these three belts would you compete for? The NWA World Welterweight Championship, the NWA World Middleweight, or the NWA Light Heavyweight Championship?
I would need the weight qualifications for each one, but I think the light heavyweight is out. I think we can safely say that without fear of being wrong. I'm not a light heavyweight, therefore let's eliminate that one right off the bat.
Okay.
For my own self-preservation. I'm what?
Casey's a paperweight.
Okay. Maybe if we're talking about a case of paper. Let's go with middleweight, QT, just because I'm a middle child, therefore I'm partial to the middle.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay, I can see that connection. Okay. All right. Well, Bad Blood, in the Caribbean, longtime promotion, the World Wrestling Council, was owned by Carlos Colon and based in Puerto Rico and was a member from 1973 until 1988, when the territorial concept became semi-obsolete due to the WCW's growth. Rival Puerto Rican promotion International Wrestling Association was founded in 1994 by Victor Colinas and was a member of the NWA from its inception until its withdrawal in 2001. My question is, would you have rather wrestled for the International Wrestling Association out of Puerto Rico or the World Wrestling Council out of, that was Puerto Rico, yes.
Well, the World Wrestling Council for sure, because I kind of grew up watching Carlos Colon and, you know, Bruiser Brody over there beating the crap out of people and the Invaders and all this stuff like that. But, so, I mean, I'll have to go with that.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right, and now something that Sign Guy and I both talked about last night when we were down in Gresham, Oregon. It is for the first time and with our pleasure that we are going to have an NWA-themed Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Casey and Bad Blood, are you ready for our first ever NWA's Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk?
Sure.
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, I'll start out with a bad blood. NWA World Women's Champion Jazz or Jazz Great Charlie Parker?
NWA World Women's Champion Jazz.
Oh, okay. All right. Ice skating or roller derby?
Roller derby.
Okay. McChicken sandwich or McRib sandwich?
McRib all day.
Okay. Facebook or MySpace?
Facebook.
All right. Eazy-E of NWA, get that, NWA, or Mike D of the Beastie Boys?
Mike D.
Okay. DJ Yella or Bootsy Collins?
DJ Yella.
Okay. It's Always Crazy in Philadelphia or Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Wow. All right. Well, Bad Blood, thank you for participating in that NWA themed Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. I will now move on to contestant Casey Carlisle. Yes. Okay. And before we start, Casey, are you going to give me a special pumpkin pillow photograph for Halloween?
Which one for Halloween? Which one did you say?
A pumpkin pillow photograph.
A pumpkin pillow photograph.
Yes.
If I can figure out what that is, I could.
Oh, basically it's a pumpkin themed patch over a pillow, a heart-shaped pillow.
Oh, just a legit pumpkin-shaped pillow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I could probably make that happen. So, yes, I will do everything I can to give you one of those for Halloween. A photo of it.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Now, here we go with the NWA themed. Okay, NWA North American Heavyweight Champ Mustang Mike or NWA National Heavyweight Champion Cahagas?
I'll go with Cahagas on this one.
Okay, Cahagas. All right. NWA MC Ren or Ad Rock, whose name is Adam Horovitz of the Beastie Boys?
No, I'm going to go with NWA.
Okay. MCA or YMCA?
What was the first choice again?
MCA. His name is Adam Yonk of the Beastie Boys. Adam Yonk.
Well, I'm not huge on the Beastie Boys, so I'm going to go with YMCA.
Oh, YMCA.
I love
wow.
their dance.
Oh, all right. Okay. YMCA. Okay. WKRP. WKRP or Wyatt Earp?
No, WKRP in Cincinnati all day long.
Oh, okay. All right. And now, just to segue, who was your favorite character?
Well, now you got me because I don't remember the show well enough. That was my childhood. It was not yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember it well enough to know. Wasn't there a guy with – who was the main guy? Wasn't he a blonde guy?
Dr. Fever.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. How about meatball or meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Okay. And that
especially
is a very mind. Brief, but NWA theme, bring on the choice, bring on the funk. Yes, you did very well.
All
I
right, well,
I try,
gentlemen
I try.
And lady, I have to get to my booking, so bad blood doesn't pay me for being late. But,
I'm not even there. I'm in California.
You couldn't find me at all. But on the way out, bad blood, anything you want to plug, promote?
You can find BCW on Fight TV every Tuesday night. AOW tonight, my boy Black G's versus Eric Watts, AOW heavyweight title. Myself versus Rudy Luna for the NWA Heritage title. Just support local wrestling, support Collar and Elbow, and be good to each other.
Tell G's I say hi.
Hey, Casey said hi.
Dude, what up,
Casey? He said, what up, Casey?
Yeah.
I'll
send you a
out.
Picture of us.
Casey, you got any plugs?
I was going to say, it got really quiet all of a sudden. Everyone can go check me out on Facebook. I have both the profile and the fan page. I'm on Twitter. My website, which will be updated within the next day or two, which is CaseyCarlisle.com. I have a pretty full schedule coming up in October, and I try to keep everyone updated so everyone can just go Google me and they can keep up with me that way.
All right. And I think we made history today. Myself, Tracy Smothers, and Casey Carlisle on the same show, and no one suffered a life-threatening injury.
Correct. Not during the show, anyway. Here's hoping not at all.
Exactly. Tracy Smothers says everybody dies. He's not just fooling around.
Well, I figure we all do at some point, so I think he's right on that.
Yeah, you got a fair point there. All right. Well, you can find me at NWA Blue Collar if you're in the North Portland area tonight. I got a... Get down there, beeline to NWA Blue Collar. QT will be there as well. So come out there, support what we do. If you're in California, go find AOW. Bad Blood will be there. CaseyCarlisle.com. Great place for all of your gift-giving needs. Go pick up some pictures and some shirts. And we'll be back with you next week, next Sunday, paying tribute to Dick the Bruiser's WWA. got a bunch of guys that were around in the WWE era, so it should be fascinating next week. And we'll talk to you then.
Thank you.